Well, it is good to be back with you. It's good to be away for some time. It's always good to come back. I have a lot of gratitude for the ministry, the work of serving here in these parishes. It's one of the things that came to me with my time away was just to reflect on that a little bit. So thank you for allowing me to be away for some time. This weekend in Rome, there's a canonization of Cardinal John Henry Newman, which he was a 19th century man who was an Anglican priest. He was very kind of prominent in the Anglican Church, the Church of England at the time. And he converted to Catholicism after a failed attempt to show that the Anglican Church was the true church. So he was trying to write an apology for that, a defense of that. And then he ended up saying, well, I guess this isn't true. So I better not do that. So as a result of his conversion, though, he faced a lot of isolation. Most of his former friends and colleagues at Oxford, where he taught, abandoned their friendship with him. They left him kind of by himself. And sad to say, there were a lot of Catholics, too, in different Catholic circles, who didn't quite trust this learned convert to the faith. So they kind of left him to himself. And so he had a lot of experiences of loneliness, I think, walking this path towards conversion, towards the Catholic Church, becoming a priest eventually, and serving in the church in different capacities. Newman had two principles that were very important to him that he based his academic and theological pursuits upon. Firstly, he vehemently opposed the spirit of what he called liberal religion in the church, both as an Anglican and as a Catholic. He fought this tooth and nail throughout his life. Upon receiving the letter that Pope Pius IX sent him to make him a cardinal, he said these words: "For 30, 40, 50 years, I have resisted to the best of my powers the spirit of liberalism in religion. Liberalism is the doctrine that there is no positive truth in religion, but that one creed is as good as another. And this is the teaching which is gaining substance daily. It teaches that all religions are to be tolerated, for all are matters of opinion. Real religion is not a truth, but a sentiment and a taste, not an objective fact, not miraculous, and it is the right of each individual to make it say whatever strikes his fancy." So these were words that he was trying to put into put a voice to his desire to defend the fact that there is one true religion, one faith that our Lord set up. So he says, "Men may go to Protestant churches or Catholic, may get good from both and belong to neither." So again, he's saying this is what this liberal religious sense would say. "They may fraternize with each other in spiritual thoughts and feelings without any views at all of doctrines in common, or seeing the need for them. Since then religion is so personal and so private a possession, we must of necessity ignore it in the intercourse of man to man. If a man puts a new religion on every morning, what is that to you?" So here Newman is trying to show that, okay, that when we walk that path, where do we end up? This is a problem, so we need to address that. This fight against the relativization of religion was held alongside a belief in the necessity of a free conscience, freedom of conscience. And that is allowing all human persons to follow what is right according to their own conscience. This can be greatly misunderstood, certainly. Conscience does not give way to opinion, to preference, to social acceptability, morally easy, or political advantageous. But rather, conscience requires that we follow the path which God has written upon our hearts. So conscience, when well formed, is a sort of voice. It's the voice of God speaking to us, which speaks from the depths of our souls. Accordingly, the conscience, he said, should find harmony when we live according to Christ's teachings. And likewise, in the conscience, it should disquiet us when we are opposed to God's law or to God's will in our lives. For Newman, the conscience is not our voice speaking to us, but it's God's voice speaking within us. So the conscience is not an instrument by which we can claim our right to dissent with the church or with what we know is to be true, if we are indeed finding ourselves in that situation where we're believing or holding some principle that opposes Christ and his church, it's clear that this is a sign to us that we need to humbly examine, why do I hold this view, or why do I stand on this principle that opposes Christ and his church? G.K. Chesterton rightly said, "I don't need a church to tell me I'm wrong when I already know I'm wrong. I need a church to tell me I'm wrong where I think I'm right." So the church is Christ's living voice. It's his living voice here on earth. And while assuredly there are and have been and will continue to be false shepherds, morally weak priests and bishops who confuse or lead astray by their words or their deeds, we can certainly find refuge within the church, which Christ established and gave to the care of the apostles and their successors. The body of the doctrines, the teachings, are the bulwark by which we live in Christ and are safeguarded from error and sin. It may seem a trite or ridiculous practice to hold tightly to the moral teachings, the sacramental life, the traditional worship of the Catholic Church, to accept in obedience her life, her precepts and practices. However, so too it did seem to Naaman. Our first reading today talks about his cleansing, but it doesn't talk about right before, where he was saying, "I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. To go wash in the Jordan River? Why did I come all the way over here for that?" And it was only after his attendants pleaded with him and said, let's just try. We came all the way to Israel. Let's just try and see what happens. And sure enough, he was healed. So it must have seemed to the lepers who heard Jesus and saw him and who were told by him, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And yet they were physically healed. A far greater gift does Christ offer to us here in the Mass, here in our worship of God: eternal salvation through his church by seemingly simple, ordinary measures which are given for our sanctification to help us on our journey, to teach us right from wrong, to inform us of our sins and what virtue is, to counsel us when we are confused or uncertain about things that we encounter in our daily lives, to point us to the way of heaven, when we are lost or when we have turned aside from the path, to direct us back towards it. So we're all meant to live within the church, to be welcomed there, not to remain as we are, but to continue to grow closer to God, to press forward into conversion of our hearts, of our lives, to be strengthened. We do have freedom of conscience, that's certainly true, but it was given that we may follow Christ, not obstinately oppose or resist him. So conscience was given so that we may freely assent to the truths, the doctrines, the teachings, the faith that is the life in Christ, and to avoid and turn away from error, to root ourselves not in our own preferences, not in our own desires necessarily, but those things that we would come to prefer, those things that will lead us to the truth of who God is and lead us to following God in our lives. So today, in Rome, as they're 7 hours ahead of us, they'll be shortly celebrating the canonization of St. John Henry Newman, who's a man, I would say, for our times. A man who lived in a world of ideas, doctrines, academia, ideas, concepts, arguments, but that he understood that these ideas inform the way we live. If we don't hold a principle, if we don't hold to principles that inform our doctrines, which ultimately come from God, we live our lives in error and are lesser for it. We risk the possibility of losing our inheritance, which has been offered to us. So Newman reminds us that we cannot be content with mediocrity, that we are meant for greatness. We are not to be given over to things that lead us away from God, but to always try to be drawing closer and closer to him. We are not given the option to remain indifferent or uncaring in the face of these choices. It's no exaggeration to say we must live life with eyes wide open to the reality that everything Our whole lives, everything is at stake. St. John Henry Newman.